You are listening to From Sobriety to Recovery with Jesse Mogul. Let's get to the show. Welcome back to From Sobriety to Recovery. I am your host, Jesse Mogul. I am in addiction recovery, and I am in southeastern Oklahoma. Now, I got a lot I want to cover, and I want to do this in sober shorty style because I am here at my dad's house and spending the time with the family, and yet I still want to catch up and be able to get a little information over to you guys about how whimsical this trip has been and how I've really been able to harness the power of being in the moment and not allowing my emotions to overtake me and send me spiraling down. And for a lot of us, when we first step into sobriety, there's a lot of emotions that are going to overwhelm us because we have been muting ourselves for so long. And then we get ourselves into a state of sobriety. We start to clear up our mind. The fog releases. And then we realize that the emotional coping skills that we lacked when we first were introduced to addictive substances are still very present. We don't have the emotional coping skills that we desire. So the taking out the mutation device of the addiction, right? It's still the presentness of the lack of the emotional coping skills is quite there. And we want to be more attentive towards how we emotionally cope with things in order to uplift ourselves into this version of ourselves that is seemingly was promised to us when we got sober. And I've heard that on more than one occasion, that I was told that life was going to be infinitely better when I got sober. Well, where is this better life? Well, it's up to us to work at it in order to achieve it. And a lack of emotional coping skills in a healthy manner is something you're going to find very present in yourself. And you're going to be looking in the mirror trying to figure out, why is it you feel anxious or annoyed or jealous or confused or frustrated or overwhelmed? And it's not because of sobriety that these emotions are present. It's because of the addiction being gone. And now you're seeing things and experiencing things and feeling things through this entire new lens. And they're much more powerful because as we begin to bring our brains and our bodies back to this homeostasis, this is, and mind you, this is a human condition. This isn't something that only addicts and those in sobriety and recovery are dealing with. Every human has to figure out a healthy coping mechanism for their emotions. And so this week, I want to cover a few of the ways that I was able to harness this power over the course of basically this last week, because it was a lot. And so for those of you who follow linearly on the show, then you realize that I had come out here to experience my dad's birthday and to also experience the eclipse, because his house, his lake where he retired, is in the path of totality. And so last Wednesday, and today is Thursday, so about 8 days ago, I'm driving out and I'm down on this 2-lane random ass road, and I'm passing a big, huge pickup truck, like one of those dualies with like 4 tires in the back of it, because it's pulling this very large piece of construction equipment. I didn't realize I was ever going to have to tell this story, so I didn't put a lot of this to memory. So I will just run you through how my car broke down. I will run you through how the boat broke down, and I will run you through how the skies during the eclipse were very cloudy, and how each one of these could have been seen or experienced or felt by me as a setback to this beautiful experience that I was expecting. And what have we talked about expectations? The leading cause of frustration, right? Expectations, the leading cause of disappointment. So there was a lot of expectations I put on this trip. Most importantly was that I would spend the birthday with Dad and there would be an eclipse in the sky. That was going to happen no matter what. Monday was going to come. There was going to be a moon getting in front of the sun. It was going to be happening above our heads. Like, you could not stop a celestial event. You could not stop Dad's birthday from coming. Now, what were you going to experience when those things were happening? What led up to them? And what was going to happen after them? Those were the emotions that I was beginning to seek to find ways to, I want to say, heal myself through, but in many ways, it was just journey through the experiences that I was having. So last Wednesday night, I'm passing this big, huge pickup truck, pulling this big, heavy piece of machinery, and I get my car up to about 80, 85 in order to pass this in a 65 zone. And you know how passing goes. You got to accelerate really fast on a two-lane road to get around him, and then you can, you know, ease up off the gas and you can go back to the normal speed. But I wanted around from this pickup truck pulling this big heavy equipment. And in the process of passing this pickup truck, my car stalls out. And I'm going 85, so I'm able to just still just using momentum get in front of the pickup truck, but it completely stalls out. All the dashboard lights come on. Luckily, the car is situated in a way where even though the brakes and the steering wheel weren't as responsive as they would have been if the car had been going, it wasn't like they locked up on me. But there was definitely no more RPMs happening. Car completely asleep, just rolling at 85 miles an hour down a two-lane road. I get back over into my lane, immediately put on my blinker and then my flashers. And the truck I passed must have thought I was a little bit loopy because I literally pass him just to then put on a blinker and pull off to the side of the road. And as the car rolls to a stop going up a hill, I am not quite sure if this is the issue that the mechanics told me was going to happen, but I felt pretty confidently that the car was not just going to wake up from this, that it wasn't a battery or an alternator, that this was a much more serious issue. So I immediately am frustrated, and I'm also in the middle of nowhere. Luckily, I had a cell phone connection because there are certainly parts of this journey from Hot Springs to Broken Bow where there is not a cell phone connection. There's absolutely like a whole hour-long stretch, and I was about 30 minutes away from that stretch where I would have had no cell phone reception. So lucky thing number one, that the car broke down where I had cell phone reception. Number two, I started to immediately go to call AAA, and they've got this automated service. If you guys have ever used AAA, I was furious with this. I just wanted a human. I just wanted to talk to a human, and you have to push all these buttons, and because my area code's 352, it tries to route me to Florida, but then because I started my account in California, once I say I'm not in Florida, it tries to route me to California, and I'm pushing all these buttons. I'm not getting a human, and when I finally do get a human, they're not in it. They're in Alabama, not where I need them to be. I need them to be in Arkansas because that's the state that I'm currently in, and they go to transfer me disconnected. And this happens about six or seven more times where I call, I push a bunch of buttons, I get a human, I'm not in the right place, they go to transfer me, I get disconnected. So about 45 minutes of this, and I am furious with anger. And I finally get a human, and they are not at fault for the fact that the last six people didn't do their job as well as they could have. And I'm using very, very intentional words here. I didn't say they did their job bad. I'm saying that they could have done their job slightly better than the way that they did. And so ultimately, I get this human on the phone. She's like, well, you've pushed enough buttons that you have a car, you have a tow truck coming out, but you pushed that you need to be pulled out of a ditch. It sounds like you need a tow truck. So we have to cancel that one, and we have to order you another one. So now I've already been waiting 45 minutes. Dad's on his way. He's about 2.5 hours away. So now I'm looking at about an hour and a half till Dad gets here. I'm like, okay, I'm still frustrated. And I even tell the woman, I'm like, look, I know this isn't you, and I'm trying to be very mindful of my tone. But emotionally, I'm a little distraught. I'm on the side of the road on the top of a hill. It's a two-lane road. It's a blind hill so that nobody coming up either side can see the other person. So it's not like people can just get over into the next lane and create me space because it's a blind hill. They aren't going to feel safe doing that. So literally I'm having semi trucks blast past my car 2 feet away from my side view mirror. I really feel confidently if I'd have rolled the window down, I could have put my hand out and I could have touched vehicles that were passing me because they had no choice. They couldn't just give the space because it was a blind hill. What if somebody comes over this hill and now I've created a car accident simply because of my existence on the side of the road? So finally, and I used the nicest tone I possibly could, y'all. And I even told her, I was like, I am frustrated. I am not in a safe space. I don't know what to do. And you guys have transferred me and disconnected me so many times. I am furious with your company right now. Ultimately, the tow truck was sent. I got out of the car and decided just to walk up and down the highway, trying to get my steps. Has semi-trucks blasted past me in Sobriety Fay, and I did that for about an hour till the tow truck showed up. Dude was super cool. Dad showed up about 7 minutes later. Everything worked out. He drove me to a McDonald's parking lot next to a gas station so that we could transfer all of my belongings out of Sobria Fe, my Santa Fe. And then he took the car to Hot Springs to the dealership, and I went along my way to my dad's house. Now, many things happened that were blessings in this. One, I had a cell phone reception. Two, I did have AAA, and I thought ahead years ago and gave myself the one where they'll tow a car 100 miles rather than the 7 that comes with the standard. Well, every mile past 7 is very expensive. And if you've ever dealt with one of these things, I mean, we're talking $7 a mile. It can be extremely expensive. So I pay like the extra 50 or 60 bucks so that my car can get towed 100 miles away, and the dealership's 38 miles away. So already, I'm feeling pretty good that about past decisions paying off now in an emergency situation. Dad was near enough. He came and got me. We drove home. Donna made some delicious food for us. And I was like, okay, well, let's see what the mechanic says tomorrow, but I'm pretty sure my engine is gone. And sure enough, the next day I call them up and they're like, yep, we got your car. We already ran the diagnostics on it. And yes, your engine is done. We have to now contact Hyundai because this is a major class action lawsuit recall issue. And if they accept culpability for your engine, it'll be based off of the extended warranty and this court case and the whole deal. If they say no, it's $10,000 to fix your car. And I just laughed because I don't have $10,000 to fix my car. And so I was just in a holding pattern, and I did everything I could from calling Hyundai customer care to being polite to the mechanic in Hot Springs, to being polite and calm with the customer care lady. I had taken my car into the Hyundai in Huntsville a couple months ago because I knew this was an issue and they had created a paper trail. So I had done everything up to this point to put myself in a position where Hyundai would accept culpability for the engine problem and give me a new engine. Now let's set that aside. Let's just leave that in the parking lot for a moment and let's talk about the rest of the weekend, because I want you to really hear about how many opportunities there were for my emotions to spiral this whole thing down. Because there's going to be opportunities in your life where things that are huge. I mean, your engine didn't blow up, but it definitely seized up. It was done. This could have sent me off in a tizzy, and certainly I felt a heavy weight from this. But I also realized that I couldn't do anything more than what I had done in the moment. I had contacted Hyundai. I had contacted the dealership where the car was at. I had contacted all my loved ones who needed to know what was going on. I'd already started to create a plan with my girlfriend about what we might do with only one car for up to 4 months. Hyundai could literally have taken 4 months to figure this whole thing out. So now I'm here and it's Thursday and I've got to get back. I've got schoolwork to do and I've got clients to take care of. And I had responsibilities with the business that needed to be finished in order for me to step into enjoying the weekend with dad. And while I had spent hours on the phone calling up Hyundai and the like, I still was going to maintain that come Saturday, I was going to do my best to turn the computer off and not turn it back on until Tuesday. Now, that didn't necessarily play out as well as I had hoped, but certainly Saturday, going out to the boat and making sure it was ready to start the season, because they had yet to it hadn't started it in months. It was been winter. And so we went out there and the battery didn't start. And we were expecting that because it had been winter and it had been sitting there for a long time. So we charged it, got the battery working, wiped off all the pollen. We thought, okay, it's Saturday, eclipse is Monday, we are good to go with the boat. We go off and enjoy the next 2 days. We go out there Monday morning with 2.5 hours before a totality is supposed to happen, and the boat won't start. And we've got the charger, but that's not working. So dad has to drive all the way back home to get the next charger and hope that it works. And mind you, all of this is happening under a very dense, cloudy sky. So the whole point of going somewhere where you can see totality is that the sky is clear. Otherwise, you don't get to see totality. And so we knew it was going to be partly cloudy, but we just weren't going to allow that to stop us from being driven to get to the lake, be on the boat, and be on the water as an eclipse is happening above us. And yes, my car breaks down, and that sort of put us all in an emotional tizzy because there was a lot of uncertainty around that. But we decided to park and lot that and focus on what we could control, which was getting to the lake to enjoy the eclipse, come hell or high water. If clouds in the sky, screw it. At least we get to see it get dark for 4 minutes and 28 seconds, right? And so it's a bummer. We don't get to see totality. Worse things have happened in life. like a car breaking down on the side of the road while you're passing a big, huge truck. So I was putting things into perspective. And at the same time, it was a huge bummer. You know, it's Dad's birthday. Totality is going to happen. We would want to be out there. And so through our balanced, calm demeanors, we all sent Dad to go get the next charger. He came back. It was a really good charger. It actually worked. What the other charger couldn't accomplish in an hour, this one accomplished in 10 minutes. And the boat started up. We were like, all right, sky is still super cloudy. I'm wearing like 4 layers up top, 2 layers down below. That's how chilly it was. But we forged on. We refused to let what was happening in the moment stop our intentions of being out on the lake, being together. And whether we saw totality or not, we at least got to experience this celestial event around one another. And that's what was important for this, was let's spend time with Dad on his birthday and let's enjoy the eclipse in whatever way the sky decides we get to experience it. So we get out there on the water and we've got roughly about 45 minutes until totality. But for those of you who cared about this enough to follow it, the moon starts crossing in front of the sun like an hour and 20 minutes before it actually blocks it. So the whole process starts at like 12:07 and ends at like 3:20 or something like that. So it's like a 2.5 hour. It's a long process to go from the beginning where it first touches all the way to the last touch where it's completely over with. So there was already a moon in front of the sun happening above us. We just couldn't see it. And we get out there about 45 minutes before we start setting up lunch. And we're like, hey, you know, it is whatever it is. We can't make the sky clear. We always knew that clouds could be a potential problem. And we just said, you know what? It's better that we're with each other. The boat's working. I got here safely regardless of the car issue. And let's just enjoy this day because there's nothing else that we can do about anything happening outside of the boat. It's all about what's happening inside of the boat. Right now, in this moment, this is what we can control. Our emotions around my car, our emotions around the battery, our emotions around the sky are not, that's it. That's what we can control is our emotions. I almost said that they're not within our control, but that's what is exactly within our control. We're in charge of our mind. Therefore, we're in charge of our results. We're in charge of how we feel. We're in charge of the choices we make about the things that are happening around us or to us and whether we're experiencing life happening to us or through us. And that's very key because anxiety and the perception of self and knowing what you can control, these are going to be things that are going to be popping up throughout your life, let alone in sobriety and recovery. What can I control? I can control my behaviors. I can control my thoughts. I can control my feelings. And sometimes I don't even necessarily really want to plant a flag on controlling thoughts because I feel like just looking around a room, your thoughts might pop into your mind, but you can certainly can control what thoughts you hold on to, what feelings you allow to really weigh you down or uplift you. And anxiety and fearing of the future is something that Western civilization is sort of really implanted in us, that we have this high level of anxiety in the United States. And I can't speak for other countries, but certainly for the United States where I live, for all my international listeners, I would be very interested in knowing how anxiety unfolds in your country. Because I feel like we spend an inordinate amount of time trying to future pace, think about problems that could happen, or trying to solve things that are absolutely outside of our control when we're in each and every moment. Like, think about that. I'm on a boat. Now, do I want to let the anxiety of what's going to happen with the car engine overwhelm me to the point where I can't enjoy the eclipse? Because that's not going to help anything. I cannot do anything on this boat right now about that. Even if I was at home on a phone, I can't make Hyundai say yes to giving me a new engine. I can't make the engine magically appear at the mechanic shop, and I can't have the mechanic guys magically be able to put the thing in 10 minutes. Like, the whole process is going to be very long in its playing outness. It's going to take some time. So in the moment, we can just be on the boat with each other. Where in your life are you allowing things that are far away or outside of your control to ruin moments that you're in? Because what's really interesting is I've spent so much time looking forward to this. I bought the little glasses. I talked to Dad about the logistics. We have been talking about this now since last birthday. And here it is. What we had been talking about for a year was happening. We had been praying for everything to come together, for me to be on that boat with him and Donna, and here we are. Am I going to allow myself to have this entire experience derailed by something that's completely outside of my control. I'd done everything I could, from taking it to the mechanics, to making sure there was always oil changes, to keeping oil in my trunk so that anytime I needed to top it off, I was able to do that. I checked the oil every single time I filled up for gas. Like, I did everything I possibly could to make this car stay safe and well-rounded and not break down. Powers that be, they manufactured a car with a faulty engine, and now here I am on this boat, and there's a beautiful sky getting ready to open up above us, but we had no clue. And so as we're laying out the food, we're just like, hey, you know what? It is what it is. And it'll get dark and we'll be able to see that. And then it'll get bright and then we'll just go home. And about 15 minutes before totality, a little bit of blue started to show up. And slowly but surely, each and every minute, more and more blue showed up. And then it peaked out about 15 minutes before. Here it is. The moon in front of the sun just peeks out, and we had to put on our glasses, and we're so excited, but there's still clouds in the sky. So it's sort of like coming over, then clearing. And then, I mean, literally when I tell you that the sky was so thick with gray, when we first got out on that lake, it would be an understatement. It was almost like it was already totality because it was so dark and it was just so lacking of light. And I honestly did not see for a second how the sky was going to clear up. There was just so many clouds, and nowhere where we were looking was there blue. But then here comes the blue and more blue. And before we know it, it's all blue. And there's clouds off in the distance, but they're not above us. And totality occurs and we take the glasses off and I locked that in. You know, I've talked to you guys about anchoring in moments that really mean something. Like I can picture the totality. I can picture where we were right outside the marina and Dad and Donna are across the table and we got our little barbecue sandwiches and my little sweet potato chips and like my little soda water. Like everything that we wanted to occur, it was happening in that moment. And we could have allowed ourselves to stay home because the sky was so full of clouds. We could have allowed ourselves to argue about why we didn't come out earlier that day to check the battery. We could have allowed ourselves to argue about, you know, why this wasn't a very good experience and we're all wearing jackets on a boat when it's 62 degrees and cloudy. But we didn't. We embraced the moment for whatever beauty was going to be bestowed upon us, and we just allowed the events to play out. And by the time totality occurred and we're eating our delicious food and drinking our ice cold beverages, here we are getting to see this celestial event. It's literally the definition of a once in a lifetime experience. Dad's birthday on his boat, on his lake, totality. I mean, seriously, it played out perfectly. And for the next 45 minutes to an hour or so, we got to do the totality. Then, it, you know, then of course the moon begins to step away from the sun and, you know, wax back itself so that the sun starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, next thing you know, it's getting warm and we're taking off layers and we go to start up the boat and the battery's dead. We charged it up enough apparently to get ourselves out on the lake, but didn't charge it up enough to get ourselves back off the lake. And because we knew the battery had an issue, we specifically chose not to go too far away from the marina entrance to experience totality. So we had cell phone connection. Dad calls the marina. He's got a slip there. It's a free service to send a boat out to help you out. The guy comes out. He immediately figures out what the issue is. It's some connection issue. He charges up the battery. We've got some issues to figure out with that and why it's draining for no reason. But regardless, within 5 minutes of this guy showing up, we've got a usable boat, battery is ready to go. We can drive ourselves back into the marina. And as we're just driving in there, I'm just watching, you know, the eclipse and just how the sun keeps getting bigger and the moon keeps moving further away from it. And it was an amazing experience. And I'm so blessed that we didn't decide to stay home, that we forged ahead. We didn't let our emotions that could have been caused by a cloudy sky or a broken down car, or the fact that we knew the battery didn't start the boat on Saturday, that it was a potential that it was going to be an issue when we went back out. Like, we allowed all of those emotions about how things could go wrong to wash away. And while many things did, quote unquote, go wrong, we ultimately were able to right them, get the boat working, get out on the lake and experience totality. And it's a memory I'll always have for the rest of my life. Well, beyond my dad's life, I will have the memory of us being on that boat, me seeing totality and having them both across from me It was gorgeous. It was amazing. And it was exactly the memory I wanted it to be. It was everything perfectly in place. What are expectations, guys? The leading cause of disappointment. There was birthday. There was boat. There was dad. There was Donna. There was totality. As far as anything else, those are just details I'm not even concerned with trying to figure out, because I got what I wanted and it was amazing. And the next day, I call up Hyundai, still no response. And here it is Wednesday, yesterday, when I tried to shoot this podcast and it turned into this long ass whole diatribe. And the mechanic calls me, and I'm figuring he's calling me to tell me they need more information and that it's going to be, 4 months till I get my car back, if then, and it's just going to be a big pain in my ass. But I answer the phone, and as always, I'm super pleasant with Tyler over at Cavanaugh Hyundai. He's a super cool dude. There's no reason to not be nice to him. He calls me sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I don't really think I'm a sir, but I seem to get called that a lot. And I think it might be a Southern thing more than an age thing, because I wasn't getting called sir nearly as much when I lived on the West Coast as I do in the South. Even guests at my restaurant will say sir back to me. And I'm like, is it the gray hair, or is it just because people are raised to be polite in the South? But either way, he calls me up and he's like, congratulations, you have been approved for a new engine. Now, this is remarkable for so many reasons, but everything I read on the internet, Reddit and places where people had posted this on chat boards, I was told that it was going to be a very long wait, to expect it not to just be weeks, but potentially months. And for him to call me and say, here it is Wednesday, it would have been a week since the car broke down, Thursday since he had seen it. That's whenever he put my work order in for a new engine. And then there was Friday, and of course Saturday and Sunday don't count because that's the weekend. So here it is Monday, Tuesday, and on Wednesday he's calling me to tell me that I got an engine. And in fact, when the Hyundai customer care rep called me, she told me that I had been approved for the engine on Monday. So they got the work order in, this claim, on Thursday, and they had approved it by Monday, like record time. Nowhere on the internet have I read about people having this experience where they were able to be approved for a new engine in 3 days. And so currently, as I sit here shooting this podcast, either they've got the new engine and they're already starting to put it in, or it's en route from Dallas. And I literally will be able to, by staying another couple days — I was supposed to leave Tuesday, but by staying a few more days, there's the potential that I get this car back on Saturday. And that literally, it breaks down, it needs a whole brand new engine, and I get a brand new engine, and I'm able to turn around and drive this car home. Like, I don't know if this is instant karma. I don't know if I just cashed out a bunch of karma chips with the universe that I would prefer to use down the road. I don't know. Honestly, if this is karma chips, I really feel like this is a good place to spend them. Because not having a car for months and trying to navigate that with the girlfriend and only one vehicle and all of my time commitments would have been a huge, huge hurdle for us to overcome. No doubt it would have brought stress into our lives. And for me to literally have a breakdown on a Wednesday, have them look at it on a Thursday, and be able to have it back 2 Saturdays later, just seems like way too much of a divine intervention for me not to just feel blessed in the moment. And so by not having my emotions overwhelm me and spiraling and potentially ruining this whole trip, where it's all I thought about, all I talked about, where I was like, no, you know what? My car broke down. I'm just not in a good mood. I don't want to go out on the boat. I don't want to go enjoy the eclipse. I'm just angry about my car, and I just want to stay home and be upset about that. That wasn't going to make the situation better. It wasn't going to have Hyundai approve a new engine. It wasn't going to get Tyler the mechanic to work on it any faster. And being mean or angry towards these customer care reps on the other end of the phone wasn't going to make them want to help me anymore. I don't know if where along the line, maybe I was just polite to the right person. Was it the customer care rep? Was it my case manager? Was it Tyler? Was it just being nice to human beings in general? And God was like, dude, you totally have earned this. Here you go. You get a new engine in 9 days. I don't know. But I like to believe that being polite and being friendly and not taking out my frustrations on strangers on the other end of the phone, whose job it is to ultimately alleviate this issue, but at the same time, there's time constraints. They can't just snap their fingers and have everything done. And I think if there's a huge lesson that I took from all of this, it's that if I can just calm myself down and ask myself, what can I control in the moment, I can be a lot more balanced and grounded when life hands me lemons. And maybe I even get to make a little bit of lemonade. And in this situation, it wasn't even up to me to make the lemonade. Other people had to step up and take care of their business, and they did. And if they had taken another week or two or 2 months, it wasn't necessarily that they weren't doing their jobs right. It's just that there was a lot of chain of command that needed to happen in order for this to occur. Like, wrap this back into something a client said yesterday, is that you don't control if you want to get high. You control whether you do get high. You don't control if the engine breaks down. You control how you behave after the engine breaks down. You can't control another person in your life. You can control how you respond or react or behave around that other person in your life. The desire to want to get drunk or use some drugs, what control do you really have over that? You could be watching a movie and somebody could snort a line of blow and you're like, man, I really want some blow right now. Right? You could be at a restaurant and you could see somebody order a beer. And now you're like, why can't I have a beer? I really want a beer. Why do I have to be the kind of person who can't have beer anymore? And then you could spiral down on that. You control whether you order the beer, whether you snort the line, whether you inject, whether you swallow, whether you do whatever your DOC is. You control whether you actually do it. You don't necessarily control whether you actually want it or crave it. That's going to be some automatic response that just comes. And you will, I promise you, be able to maneuver your way and heal your way through that. Now, when bad things happen to me, like a car breaking down the side of the road, my first thought wasn't, man, I really wish I could drink. That was not at all. The thought was, who do I need to call to get me off the side of the road? Who do I need to call to alert them that my engine finally broke down and this is part of the class action lawsuit? Who can I be polite to and nice to in hopes that they want to help me more than the person who just yelled at them and screamed at them? I can't control whether I immediately want booze or immediately want to be angry or immediately want to be frustrated. A lot of that is going to be automatic responses. I control the behavior after the automatic response. I control. And yeah, I will say with absolute confidence, at no point while the car was breaking down did I think, man, I really wish I could have a beer right now. I wanted to solve the problem as much as I possibly could, considering I was on the side of the road and I'm just one person out of many who need to participate in the solving of this problem. As you get further and deeper into your sobriety and recovery, your automatic response to a stressful situation will no longer be, I want to get high or I want to get drunk. It'll be seeking ways to solve the issue. Seeking ways to begin the solving of the issue. The automatic response to want to get drunk or high is just a negative coping skill that it has been ingrained in our brains over the course of months and years and decades of using. And it can be broken. Just be patient with yourself as you begin to journey from sobriety to recovery so that your brain can heal and it can start showing you more healthy coping mechanisms. Coping skills are something that we're going to be developing our whole lives. A client recently asked me, can I completely get rid of anxiety or is this something I just have to get used to? It's not necessarily that you can ever rid yourself of anxiety because you could have all the contingencies in place for the car breaks down, but it doesn't mean that when the car finally breaks down, you're not going to have some anxiety about instigating the plan. Or if somebody's going to help about the plan, or anxiety about how long it's going to take the tow truck driver to arrive, or anxiety about how long it's going to take dad to arrive, or anxiety about where we're going to possibly move the vehicles to in order for me to get all the crap out of one vehicle into another vehicle. Like, anxiety ebbs and flows, like emotions, like that plastic bag in that American Beauty movie. It's emotions, allow them to float down the river and over the waterfall. They're only permanent when we hold on to them. We bring them into our lives and then we ruminate and we spiral on them. You have thousands of emotions every day and tens of thousands of thoughts every day. You decide which ones you hold on to, which ones you think of when you first wake up, which ones you think of last right before you close your eyes to go to sleep at night. A lot of us have issues sleeping when we first get sober. And generally, I think I feel like there's an issue with sleeping in our culture. And I believe a lot of it comes from allowing our brains to start ruminating on things that have happened that day, worrying about how they're going to be alleviated in the future, and having the anxiety that comes from trying to solve problems when they're further away. Right now, the problem is let's fall asleep. So let's close the mind down and let's realize that we can release out into the ethers, trying to solve problems at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night while we're laying in bed. that we did whatever we could do that day, and we will do whatever we can do tomorrow, and we can do so with a clear mind and a clear heart and a clean body. And the way that it plays out will have a lot more to do with other people than it does with us. But we control our mind. Therefore, we control our results. And we're doing the best we can with the resources we have, just like everybody else is. And that may not be to our liking. We might still get frustrated that things aren't happening as fast as we would prefer them. And at the same time, it is what it is. You can't make the tides grow higher just because your boat is stranded on the beach. You have to just wait for the tide to get higher. And when it happens, be prepared to get your boat back out on the water. But if you're so busy being angry at yourself or other people for not being more prepared or more willing to help, then you might miss out on the opportunity, one, to grow emotionally, two, to instill some healthy coping mechanisms within yourself, but three, to just learn more about how you can maneuver through all of these emotions. Emotions are awesome and they're beautiful, and it creates the human experience. And I would never want to be emotionless, but I certainly want to make sure that I'm monitoring how much my emotions control my behaviors. I chose to be in the moment and enjoy the eclipse. I chose to be in the moment and enjoy the company of my parents while I was out here at their lake house. I chose all of this stuff minute by minute because this car could have overwhelmed me because I don't like this much uncertainty. But I ultimately realized that I did what I could do. Let's let the universe take it from here. And blessed be, I get a new engine Saturday. Where in your life can you just step back, breathe, and realize that filling yourself up full of anxiety and stress isn't going to make the situation finish any faster? A watched pot never boils. It's up to you to decide how you're going to behave each and every moment. And maybe you yourself will get your own metaphorical engine simply by realizing that in time, things take care of themselves. Whether it's the way we hoped they would take care of themselves or not, that's the unknown. But what is the known is how you behave in the moment. You can't control whether you want to get high or want to get angry or want to be stressed out, but you can control whether you do get high, whether you do get angry, or whether you do allow yourself to continue spiraling yourself down that stress ladder. Getting rid of anxiety, I just don't think that that's possible to do in one's life. But learning to live with the ebbs and flows of it, stepping outside of it, and realizing that the stress and the anxiety isn't you. It is something you're experiencing, and you control what you experience. All right, my friends, inclusivity over exclusivity, the power of positive energy, release and flow. Thank you for letting me go off on that little diatribe about the cars. It was just a lot, right? And I just thought, you know, where in our lives are we letting our emotions overwhelm us when we could really just be present in the moment? And you know what? Maybe the sky opens up and we see totality. Every day is the best day of our lives when we wake up sober. Shout out to Sunshine. Shout out to Robert. You know what? We're shouting out. Shout out to Mom and Abby too. Glow on, my friends. Bye-bye.